live like I've got no more precious time to waste. I'm gonna give him glory with all my things, 'cause there's no greater, stronger, higher name, and that's who I praise.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Praise God, as we gather together tonight, expecting some great things to happen here. Praise God. How many came with an expectation? Praise God. If you didn't, go back outside and then come back in with an expectation, because that's when the Lord shows up. When you expect Him to, praise God. When we begin to stir up our faith, praise God, we don't need a, you know, a volcano can sit there for years dormant, not making any kind of motion, but then all of a sudden, a little smoke starts coming out. Ground starts shaking a little bit. I think we need to do that tonight in our worship and our praise. Maybe your praise has been dormant for a little while. Maybe you need to stir up, praise God. Let the enemy know, hey, I still got something in the tank, praise God. Sometimes our cars, how many ever gets out on the highway and they just put their foot into it? Really get into it, Brother Nathan. You just blow and you see that smoke coming out the back. You know that you're doing some good. Praise God. I wish that we could do that here tonight in our worship and our praise. Praise God. Get out, clear out those pipes. Praise God. I feel the whole, I believe we're going to have church in here tonight. I'm gonna get a few announcements out of the way tonight. I know, don't forget about our Easter drive. It's on Bread Team. I think we won today. Let's give ourselves a hand. Nobody else is clapping for us. We got to clap for ourselves. We got to encourage ourselves like David did. Praise God. He just encouraged himself. Let's remember next Sunday is our Easter Sunday service. Come expecting great things. Bring some visitors to finish out strong on our Easter drive. Also, April the 4th is our that night, Saturday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. There's going to be an Easter egg hunt. And it's going to be hosted by the Children's Ministry, a glow egg hunt at Reno's Kiwanis Park. I know the kids will love that with games and candies and s'mores. So, man, I may show up. Oh, my goodness. S'mores. They're going to cook. All right. Also, Thursday and Friday, April 16th and 17th, 2026, the Ladies' Joy Conference. And also, we have some upcoming weddings. There's some boxes out there on the table. Please contribute to those couples as they get ready to move into happily married matrimony. Give them a card, give them a gift, let them know you're thinking about them. Praise God. All right. How many's ready? Y'all ready for takeoff? Praise God. Let's turn that plane. Let's turn that plane toward the runway. You know, when they start getting toward the runway, I flew a few times in my life, but I know that when they get pointed in that runway, they don't just sit there idling. They start revving it up, because they know there's fixing to be a takeoff. What could happen here tonight if we just begin to, there's no telling what God could do in this house if we would rev up our praise, we would rev up our worship, hallelujah. He'll do great things in this place if we'll bring the praise to Him. He'll send His glory down to us, praise God. Let's worship together as our praise team comes, hallelujah. Let's lift up the name of Jesus and celebrate, hallelujah, everything that He's doing in our lives, praise God.
Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Holy Spirit, rain down on us.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, rain down on us.
Holy Spirit, rain.
Praise God. Let's give him a hand clap. Praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to ask our ushers to come this evening. Praise God. As we prepare to receive tithes and offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know that God is faithful? I said, how many knows that God is faithful? Praise God. He's faithful. Praise God. When we give to him, he gives back. Praise God. Now, that's not the reason we give, but it is a blessing, right? Because we're putting into his kingdom, he puts back into us. I'm so thankful tonight for the opportunity, the privilege to give into the kingdom. If you've got a special need in your body, we would invite you to come down at the front. If you need prayer tonight, remember those on our prayer list tonight as we go in prayer. We just ask the Lord to touch tonight. Jesus, we're thankful. Lord, we ask you, Lord, tonight, God, for your touch on those on our prayer list. Lord, those that are sick in their body tonight, God, we just pray that you would lift them up and strengthen them in this house. Lord, we pray for this offering, Lord, that you bless every home, every family, every individual. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all give to the Lord tonight.
Jesus. First say what a very high honor it is, amen, to be able to stand behind this pulpit, amen. Thank you, Pastor, for this privilege, amen. A great honor to stand behind this desk here at home tonight. Amen. Today is, I believe it's Palm Sunday. And when the crowd began to speak, Hosanna, it was come from the Hebrew phrase Hosanna, which meant save us, please, or Lord, save now. And as the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace began to ride into that city on that donkey, they were crying, Lord, save us now. Save us, please. But it transitioned into a phrase, a cry of victory. That salvation is here now. The King has come to save us now. It went from a cry of desperation, Lord, we need a Savior, to it was a cry of joy and victory that we don't have to worry because our Savior is come. He is here now to save us. I don't know what you've walked into this house with tonight, amen, but I can tell you that you don't have to hang your head and cry, Lord, I need you to save me now, because when you walked in those back doors tonight, you walked into the presence of the Savior. The Savior is on the scene right now to save and to redeem. I'm so thankful tonight, amen, that he chose somebody like me, amen, to love me regardless of all of my imperfections, amen. If I could turn your attention to the word of the Lord tonight, we'll be in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter number 10. Book of Matthew, chapter number 10, and beginning in verse number 33. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter number 4, and the NIV says it like this, 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8, it says that the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And verse 8 says, above all, somebody say above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. I would like for just a little while tonight to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. A net mender mentality. I want to talk to you for just a little while about a net mender mentality. Can we lay our Bibles down and go to Him tonight? Lord, we're so thankful, God, for what we've already felt in this house. God, and I know that You're not finished moving in this house tonight. God, I'm asking You that You would just allow me to be a willing and able vessel for You to use, God. I surrender my tongue to Your authority. I surrender my voice to Your authority tonight, oh God. I pray, God, that You would speak to Your people, God. That You would do what only You can do, God. I pray that You would change us before we leave this place tonight. In Your almighty precious name we pray. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Amen. You can be seated. We arrive, praise the Lord, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. There is a man by the name of Simon. Book of Matthew 4 and 18 says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. It says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20 says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. They did not talk amongst themselves, and they did not try to bargain with him. And the Bible says that they left their nets and began to follow after Jesus. Amen. At the time, a fisherman, amen, in the Bible days, he would spend most all hours of the day mending his nets and tying rips that had occurred in his net. And we find that a lot of times the fishing would happen at nighttime, because they said that the fish could barely see the net during in the nighttime. And so they would have most of their success in the nighttime hours. And so they would spend the daylight hours mending and tending to their nets and to their boats and doing all the repairs and everything and getting all the bait. Amen. And it was a long drawn out process, amen. That every day it was a successful business, amen, that when the time of fishing began, that, amen, the demand for fish was overwhelming, and they knew that they had to go out and they had to mend their nets and prepare, because there was a great need, amen, for this fish and for food. And so they knew that the nets had to be prepared properly and everything had to be just in line. But Jesus, walking by that day, he saw these two brothers and he said, "I want you to follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And the Bible didn't say that they messed around and they had to, "Well, Jesus, if you'll give us a moment to amen, attend and just patch these nets up in just a few more places, then we'll be on our way." No, the Bible says that straightway they began to follow after Jesus. This was in the early years of Jesus' ministry, amen, and Peter began to start off his life into the ministry of Jesus. And it was here where he began to see many of the miracles. Amen. Just to list a few of them, the miraculous catch of the great number of fish. He got to see the healing of his own mother-in-law. And he got to witness the calming of the storm. It was here where Peter saw the feeding of the 5,000, amen, and it was here where Peter actually got to witness and be a part of walking on the water, and he saw the raising of Jairus' daughter. He saw the transfiguration of Jesus on the mount. He saw many healings and deliverances. There was a lot of things that Peter was a part of that he began to, I don't know about you, but if I saw a man, make something out of nothing and feed 5,000, I would be really encouraged. Amen. If I saw Jesus walking on the water, I would be encouraged. Amen. Because I knew that I had attached myself to something that mattered. I was going to be a part of something that was healing people that were sick. I am a part of something that is major. I am one of Jesus's elect few. Can you imagine the pride and the honor that Peter felt everywhere that he went when he was following Jesus and people were pointing at him in the crowd, and there goes Peter. That's one of Jesus's 12 disciples. And I can imagine that Peter probably had a lot of pride in his stature when he walked, because he knew that he was a part of the 12 elite disciples. It was here that we arrive in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus begins to call his 12 disciples and he gives them power and he proclaims to them to go and preach the gospel. He said to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers, raise the dead and cast out devils. I don't know about you, but if you were a part of the 12 elite and Jesus looked into your eyes and said, "I want you to go preach, and not only do I want you to preach, but I'm going to give you the power and the authority to raise the dead. I'm going to give you the power and the authority, amen, to deliver those who are bound by all types of spirits. Amen. I'm going to give you the authority, praise God, to see miraculous things happen." I would feel like I was untouchable and bulletproof. Peter began to walk around, praise God, with the 12 and saying, "Man, we are unstoppable. We are the 12. Amen. Every demon in hell is terrified of us. Amen." And it was a pride. It was a sense of pride because he could associate himself with something that was powerful. Verse number 33 of Matthew 10, Jesus said that whosoever will deny me in front of men, I will deny him before my Father. And Peter was standing there in the middle of the 12 when Jesus spoke these words. He said, whoever denies me before men, Peter, you better understand that I'm going to deny him before my Father. I can imagine probably the look on Peter's face as he thought, man, this is some major stuff. Amen. You better not deny Jesus among men, because that means that he's going to deny you. That means he's going to tell his Father, I have no idea who this man is. Jesus began to teach in the city. He taught by the sea. He taught everywhere, going everywhere that he could and proclaiming, performing miracles. It was Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus calls Peter and he says, Simon, from now on, I'm going to call you Peter. And it was here where Peter said, where Jesus said, up on this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And so at this time, I could imagine that Peter is feeling pretty good. Amen. Peter is like, man, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to get to be a part of something that God is going to do in the future. Amen. God is going to build a church and I am going to be a part of it. Matthew 17, we find where Peter is with Jesus. Amen. He is with Peter and James. He is with John and James as they see the transfiguration of Jesus. They see Moses and Elias on the mount and how Jesus' face begins to be transformed. And Peter is spending a lot of time, amen, in close proximity with the Savior. We find in Matthew 26 when Jesus arrives at Bethany, we know the story about the woman who pours an alabaster box of ointment upon his head and begins to anoint him for his burial. It is here that we arrive to a, now I don't claim to be a theologian, I actually had to do a lot of digging. So if I'm wrong, y'all just have mercy on me, okay? Praise the Lord. Y'all don't start throwing tomatoes at me. Praise God. All right. So we arrive at Thursday night, and Jesus, being a Galilean, the Jewish festival, we will call this the Last Supper. Amen. And Jesus is here amongst his disciples, and it is here where he arrives at the table, and he says that one of you will betray me. Amen. And they are sitting at the table. Amen. And of course, they're all trying to figure out who it is that will betray Jesus. Amen. And they get through eating and the Bible says that they sang a hymn and then they make their way to the Mount of Olives. And it is here when they're on their way, amen, that Peter begins to listen to the word of Jesus and he begins to talk about, he said, man, there's going to be a lot of people that are about to be offended. And the Bible says that Peter is listening to him and he says, Lord, there's a lot of people that are going to be offended by what you have to say. He said, but I'm not going to be one of them. You see, Jesus, I've spent a lot of time with you and I've actually seen a lot of powerful things that you've performed and I know who you are and I know what you're about and Jesus, you can depend on me. I'm not going to be offended. But Jesus turned and looked at him and said, Peter, amen, tomorrow morning before the rooster crows, it will be you that will deny me three times. Can you imagine the look on Peter's face when he heard this come from Jesus? That Peter, you're going to be the one to deny me three times. I wonder if Peter thought back, amen, earlier on in Matthew Matthew when he was sitting around with Jesus and he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Jesus, surely I will not deny you. We come to the garden, amen, where there is prayer. And of course, Jesus says, if you will wait here with me just a little while and pray, I'm going to go a little further. Amen. And we know the story that as they begin to pray, that old flesh begins to sleep. I'm going to ask you a question right now. I don't want no raising of hands. How many of you ever been praying at night in the house with all the lights on, right? And you get in that old comfortable, you're real comfortable, right? You got the fan going, you got the air, praise God, on about 71, and it just feels great. And you are trying to pray, and then all of a sudden, you wake up, and you're like, man, what happened? I was praying. And so then you go back into prayer, God, hallelujah, touch this one and touch that one, and before you know it, you doze off again, and you wake up again, you're like, what happened? It is hard to pray and be fervent and be steadfast. Now, some of you looking around, hey, I know there's some of y'all that are more holier than me. I know there's some of y'all that are true Pentecostals that can pray without ceasing and can pray for 24 hours. I know there's some of y'all. I know. I feel it. But I'm one of them, praise God, Lord forgive me. Sometimes when I'm praying at night, my wife will come over and she will elbow the fire out of me. She said, you're snoring while I'm trying to pray. God forgive me, Lord. Help me to stay awake, God. But as they were praying, flesh began to step in and they began to snore and slumber. But Jesus remained steadfast and he was praying. And then we find where Jesus came over and he began to nudge them and say, hey, could you not just pray just a little while with me? Yeah. Well, Lord, what's wrong? I mean, we just got through eating and now we're full. And it's dark out here and it's cool and it feels great. And then we find, praise God, we come to the time where you can look into amongst the trees, and here comes the torches, and everybody is showing up on the scene. And then Judas comes out of nowhere, and he begins to identify Jesus as the one. And now Peter wants to jump up, and he wants to spring into action, and he wants to defend Jesus. As the guards begin to enclose around Jesus and they begin to take hold of him, Peter draws his sword in defense and lobs off the servant of the high priest. Nobody is going to touch my Savior. Nobody is going to touch Jesus. We find that Jesus, of course, reaches down and he puts the ear back on and heals a man, the servant, and turns to Peter and said, I'm going to need you to put away your weapon. Amen. And now there is a fear that is stricken inside of Peter. Amen. And it is now, praise God, in Matthew 26 and verse number 56, the Bible says that they all forsook him and fled. The 12 that used to be around Jesus at all times when the miracles were going on, when the healings were taking place, when the 5,000 were getting fed, when bread was getting passed out and the water was being turned into wine, the 12 wanted to be there. But now that there is something on the line, now my life is on the line and I cannot stand this change. I don't know if I want to be here. I don't know if I want to associate myself with this. And the Bible says that they forsook him and fled, but Peter stayed close by as they led Jesus into the palace. The Bible says that Peter was warming his hands by the fire, and this is in the early, in the late hours of Thursday night, praise God, the early hours of Friday morning. Now they begin to, hey, Peter, you're one of those 12. We always remembered seeing you close. Why ain't you down there with Jesus? And Peter denies and said, I have no idea who you're talking about. And so he moves away and moves over a little closer to try to see if he can still lay eyes on Jesus as they are leading him to the trial. And the Bible says that someone else calls out and says, hey, Peter, aren't you the one that, Jesus said, hey, upon this rock I'm going to build. Peter, aren't you the one? And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. A third time, Peter, aren't you the one who's close to Jesus of Nazareth? Peter said, I have no idea who that man is. And as the third time left his mouth, the sound of the rooster began to crow. And my heart can only imagine the fear that come over Peter as he remembered the prophecy that Jesus spoke. That he said, Peter, on this day, amen, before the rooster crows, it will be you that will deny me. And not only that, but I wonder if Peter remembered, amen, the words that Jesus spoke when he said, if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father. I wonder if Peter thought right then and there that my life is over. I might as well just give up, amen, because there's no getting back into the elite 12, because now Jesus is going to deny ever knowing who I am. It is said that Jesus was crucified around 3 p.m. on Friday. He died shortly thereafter. And we all know that 3 days later on Sunday, he rose again. The Bible does not account Peter being there at Calvary when Jesus is hanging there on the cross. But it does say that on the day that they checked his tomb, the Bible says that Peter was one of those that ran in to have a look, and he saw, amen, the napkin folded there. But I still wonder, amen, about Peter and what was going on in his mind. That if he wondered, do I still have a chance, amen? Am I still considered a part of the 12 that loved him so much? Amen. But there was something that began to happen. You see, Peter began to think about his past life, and he began to remember what it was like as he began to mend those nets. And in the book of John 21, it says that Peter said, I go fishing. What he was meaning is, hey, amen, I don't think I can be a part of this elite anymore, and so I'm going to go back to doing what I know how to do, and that is mend nets. I'm going to go back to doing all that I know how to do, and that is just be a fisherman. But the Bible doesn't stop there and say that Peter became a net mender his entire life. But the Bible says that some days after Jesus was resurrected, that he found himself on a boat where Peter was, and he began to talk to Peter, and he began to identify himself to Peter, and suddenly Peter got the revelation of who he was, and he began to fall down before the Savior. I've come to tell somebody something tonight, that we don't have to stay in the mind instead of a net mender, that once I always did, that's what I've always got to be. The Bible said that Jesus did not go up to Peter and say, "Peter, do you remember my prophecy? Do you remember what I said about when you deny me before men that I'm going to deny you before my Father?" No, that's not what he said. The Bible said that he took Peter and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "No, Peter, do you love me?" Something began to stir in my spirit that Jesus didn't care about what happened in the past. All he cared about when he hung on Calvary's cross, I could imagine Jesus was looking out of those blood dripped, as blood began to drip down his eyes. Jesus was looking for Peter. "Peter, where are you? Where are you at, Peter?" Whenever Jesus was risen again, he said, "I've got to go find Peter. It don't matter about him denying me. I'm going to let my love cover him. I'm going to let the blood of Calvary cover him." But you know why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. God began to deal with me in my mind and my heart and my spirit here lately. Amen. That I don't know what it is. Amen. Praise God. But there's something about whenever somebody denies. Somebody used to be a Pentecostal. Somebody used to be apostolic. Man, used to be full of the Holy Ghost. Used to be praying. Used to be a powerful prayer warrior. And now all of a sudden they've denied everything. Amen. That was just a, I don't really know. I just don't know. Amen. And then all of a sudden the old flesh part of us said, "Well, you might as well write them off because they've denied him. Now they ain't got no part of him." But I've come to tell somebody something tonight, that there's still a love, that when he was hanging on Calvary's cross, he was still thinking about you and I. I want to ask you something. Amen. What did Job's wife turn into a pillar of salt? I want to ask you something. Have you ever in your life, living in this lifestyle, have you ever looked back? I don't want you to raise your hand tonight, but I'm asking you a question. Have you ever stood on the brink of your lifestyle and begin to turn your head and look back at the lifestyle of where the Savior brought you from? I've come to tell you tonight that Jesus died on the cross. Amen. It don't matter how many times you looked back. Jesus climbed off the cross and come down and said, "How much do you love me?" It don't matter how many times you've looked back. It don't matter how many times you've denied me. I still love you. There is those today, amen, in this world that we have started to write off, that said, "Man, they'll never be back into the house of God. They'll never come back because they've denied that lifestyle." I bind that old mentality in the name of Jesus. They don't have to be a mender. They don't have to be a net mender their entire life. They might have went back to that lifestyle. They might have went back to trying to mend those nets. But all the while, Jesus is looking for somebody. I don't care how long they've been gone. I don't care how long they've been out of the house of God. There is a love that is still longing and still looking and saying, "I'm still on the throne." There is still hope. My question tonight is that if you see those individuals that have made their way back to that net-mending mentality that we stroll by them and just say, oh, how you doing? How's everything going? Well, that's all right, and we stroll on past them. I wish that we would get the mentality of Jesus Christ and sit down beside them as they're mending that net and say, you don't have to live this lifestyle. You don't have to live like this your whole life. Jesus climbed up on a cross so that you could live a life of freedom. Jesus is saying, come on back. Come on back to the house of God. Come on back to prayer. Come on back to fasting. I began to think about something the other day. The Bible says that Elijah, as he passed by Elisha, that he began to throw his mantle upon him. It was not in that very moment that Elisha took full possession of the mantle. God began to deal with me. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. I'm going to tell you something. There is some people under the sound of my voice, some Sunday school teachers, some youth leaders, amen, some of you prayer warriors that have got a mantle that God has given you. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to pass by some of these young ones and throw that old mantle over their shoulders and say, come with me. I want to show you how to pray. I want to show you how to fast. I want to show you how to get a hold of the presence of God. Elijah, just hang on. There's some things I need to take care of in my past. We ain't fit for the kingdom of heaven. We got our hand on the plow and looking back. I want to have a pastor that says, come on. Don't worry about what the past holds. Don't worry about what people saying yesterday. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. I'm going to throw this mantle on you. Come on. I'm going to show you how to pray. I want to show you how to magnify God Almighty. I want to show you how to get into the presence of God. The Bible says we got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. That's why I'm so thankful that every time that I walk into this building, that there is a sound that is coming from that prayer room. I'm so thankful that every time I walk into this church, that it's not quiet, because there is a sound that is coming from the prayer room, and it is voices that are saying, I don't care. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how long they've been gone. I'm still praying that God brings them back in. Into this house. Stand with me tonight. Peter, listen. Peter said, Lord, I know I've seen a lot of great things. I know I've seen a lot of wonderful things, but Lord, you said, he did not tell them in the book of Genesis, he said, you eat of this fruit, you're going to surely die. In my mind, the minute you take a bite, you're about to drop dead. But something came over the Creator that said, I just want a little more time with what I've created. I want to tell you something, church. I don't care how long, amen, maybe you've been thinking about giving up. Maybe you thought maybe that you've crossed the line and that you can't make it back into the elite. Maybe you can't make it back into the mercy. But I've come to tell you tonight that there is a place called Calvary. And while he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. He looked ahead in time and said, I know that he's going to look back quite a few times, but I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to shed my blood for him. I'm still going to die for him. It was not the nails that held him on the cross. There was a legion of angels that were standing in attention with their ears turned toward the voice of him that hung there. I'm going to say this. Get mad at me if you want to. I'm too tired to come to church on Wednesday night. I'm too tired to come to church on Sunday night. Jesus could have said, I'm too tired to hang on this cross for somebody. But I'm thankful that he didn't. I'm thankful that he hung there for you and me. So I ask you this. Is he not worthy enough that we can drag our old flesh off of the couch or off of the recliner and bring ourselves in here on a Wednesday night and begin to lift up his name because he's worthy? I completely understand if there are some things that hold you or that keep you from being here. But if you are able to be here, you know, the Bible says, let us rejoice. I need somebody to help me worship because I can't do this by myself. I need somebody that'll be there with me while I'm worshiping and while I'm praising the Almighty God. Let us rejoice. Let me and you lift up his name and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If Judas only would have knew that he would have forgiven. I wonder if Peter was on that same road. Man, I might as well give it up. Jesus said if we denied him before men, that he would deny us before his Father. And that's exactly why I didn't do it just once, but I did it three times. But love come on the scene. And that's why he stood on business in 1 Peter. He said, we've got to be sober. We've got to love each other deeply. Because Jesus loved me even when I denied him three times. How many times have we looked back like Peter did and said, I think I'm just going to go back to mending nets? These altars are open right now. And I wonder if tonight, if there would be anybody in this house that maybe you've been on the road to giving up. I am calling you out of retirement back into refirement. It was the same Peter that denied him three times that Jesus said, I am giving you the keys. It was the same Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost and gave the message of salvation. You know what that tells me? That tells me that he loved you and I enough that he looked past our sins. He looked past of the things that he knew that we were going to fail him at. And he said, you know what? I've got a higher calling for you. I've got something that I can use you for. I'm going to use you in ways greater than you've ever imagined. You ought to call somebody this week. You ought to reach out to somebody this week you ain't seen in a while. Maybe you wrote them off. Oh, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You ought to call them up, and if you don't have anything else to say, Jesus still loves you. I don't think he does. Well, I know he does. And love covers a multitude of sin. There is something about whenever we kneel and we begin to get this old flesh under subjection and say, flesh, I know you want to go back to doing what you've always done. But my Savior hung on that cross. He hung on that cross to show me how much he really loved me. I'm asking you tonight, we need to forsake the old net mending mentality about I'll always be a net mender. When God's trying to call us to be prophets, to be preachers, to be teachers, to be disciples. You ought to look back at where God brought you from. Come on. All across this place as these musicians begin to sing, I want to tell you something. There's going to be greater things. There's going to be greater things. Greater things. There's going to be people on these pews that we've wrote off a long time ago. Amen. I'm going to tell you, some people are fixing to start coming back to this house. Amen. You know why? Because God never gave up on you. So I know he ain't going to give up on them. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to have a church. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. You know what that means? That the gates of hell are not going to hold those in. The gates of hell are not going to hold those in that have been wrote off. God said, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to let them come back to my house of refuge. Come on, for a little while, why don't we just begin to call out to the name of Jesus tonight? Why don't we call out to the Savior tonight? Hallelujah.
I won't go back. I can't go back.